Dear Father, we thank you so very much for this place you give us to come together and worship you. We thank you for the people that you bring out. And we just ask that you give us the ability to speak your word and your truth to each person that walks in here. We know we're not all on the same level, and we know we don't all gravitate to the same particular thing. Whenever we read a verse, there's some of us that read it in one way, and some of us that want to go deeper into it. And Father, we know that you teach through your Holy Spirit the way each one of us wants to or needs to be taught. Father, we just ask that you would make us hunger for your word, make us hunger for the truth, so that we always strive to be like them Bereans that studied their word of God, studied your word to learn more about you, and then used it to discern what was right and what was wrong. We ask that you would just give us that discernment as we run through your word. Be with us as we learn, teach us through the word. Let us be open to anybody that would walk in to hopefully teach them the world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Okay. We're in Genesis still. Probably going to be here a while longer. I stopped around Genesis 6, 7, 6, 8 last time. Because and we're not going to be as wild and frolically as we were last week. Last week I kind of let the funness go, just run rampant. Let's just have a big discussion over the Nephilim thing. And was it useful? I think God uses all things, but I don't think it was wrong, but I don't want to run that way again. So we're going to run a little more tight ship this time. Okay, so we've got all the Nephilim, and we got that stuff out of the way last time. And now we got God, and it's in 6:8 says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Or it says in the King James, yes, ma'am, we're in Genesis 6:8. In King James, I love this translation. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What is grace? Unmerited favor. Favor you don't deserve. Why does Noah not deserve the favor of God? He's a sinner just like everybody else. He has that sin nature that came all the way down from Adam, right? But he's kind of like David, right? He's like one of these guys that are after God's heart. You know, somebody that seeked after God. And it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of God. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. Blameless in his generation, Noah walked with God. Now, who's the only other person we see so far that walked with God? Enoch. And what happened to him? He was translated out. He doesn't say that he ever died. So that's what we're given so far. So you have this next person that walked with God, and he's kind of translated too, isn't he? When everybody else in the world dies, what happens to Noah? He's protected. He's protected through an ark. Okay? So the generations of Noah, and it says he was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. Does that mean he was without sin? He was a righteous man because of his faith. Okay? And when it says that he walked with God, he said he was blameless in his generation. So he didn't do everything else his generation was doing. He didn't follow the line. He did not look at what everything was doing. So I sure do like that and going to go right down that path with them, right? He had a different walk. It says he walked with God. Does that mean he always did everything right? I don't think we all ever do everything right, but I think that he, in his general walk, he seeked to do what God wanted him to do. He attempted to the best of his ability to follow what God would have him do. And you know, it's so wonderful that he did this without even a book to run it, read off of, right? Amazing. Now, so Noah was this good guy. He was a good guy, okay? And he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And they were born recently, right? They were born when he was what? Anybody remember that? Huh? 500? They were born when he was 500 years old. It's amazing. But then again, we look at the people in this particular time frame, and they lived to be 950 years old, right? I'm just giving a time frame out there. One of them never died, but anyway, I'm going to leave him alone. But, you know, Methuselah was like 983, I think it was. I'd have to go back and look. I don't know exactly, but you know, there has a long life expectancy at this particular time. In fact, 969, okay, I was a little off. I gave him a few extra years in there. But you understand at this particular time that people lived a long life. But he had these three sons when he was 500 years old. Yes, sir. Yeah. Kind of, you know, it's you're completely thinking that there's a degrading that goes on as it goes down through, right? So God, whenever he made Adam and Eve, he really made a perfect car. It should never, the piston ring should never wore out in this car. But they sinned and they started this degrading down. And guess what? Now, by the time you get down to our area, you have an Edsel. I've never driven an Edsel, but from all my understanding, they were not very good cars. I would in the 70s, I would kind of make them be a Vega, Chevrolet Vega. Everybody knows what a Chevrolet Vega was. Yeah. So you start out as a what do you think? You start out as a Lamborghini or one of these beautiful supercars, right? And now as we get moved through the things, now we're Vegas. Okay? I love putting things in automotive stuff. Either I'm going to go automotive or I'm going to go brisket. So I didn't get any brisket there. So anyway, automotive. We can understand that sort of stuff. So, yeah, Coach, you're completely right. As the earth deteriorates, as because of the sin that man brought into it, as the sin, the sin cancer that's in our DNA, or that comes down through us through Adam's sin, works its way down through the generations, it gets worse and worse. What does this new scripture say? New Testament says a little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? What do we say? One bad apple spoils the whole bunch, right? If you take a bad apple and you throw it into that with those good apples are going to be bad apples pretty quick. Okay? That's just the way it works. Nothing gets better, and we're all degrading at this particular time. I was listening to years ago where they said that the scientists, they're looking back, and they never see anything in the universe form. They see it all degrade. They see stars implode and go down, but they don't ever see new ones come about. Nothing's being created at this particular time. It's all degrading from what God originally made it. So, he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, this is not so many generations down from Adam, right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can see where you're going with that, but like I said, I would have to go to exterior sources to get that. So I'm not going to say that particular comment, because I look at the Noah, when you get all the animals in the ark, they're kind of men. And I said, we'll get to this in a minute. We'll get to this in a minute. I'm just saying, I really don't want to bring that in. I can see where you're going with that, Coach, but I don't have any evidence to that. I can tell you right now that it was a very violent source, and it could be by animals or it could be by other men. Okay, you have a fallen generation. You have the descendants of God, the godly man mixing with the ungodly man and women, and creating just a culture of ungodliness out there. It's so bad that God has to hold up his nose because it stinks to high heaven and he can't deal with it anymore. Okay? He says, It says the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. All flesh had corrupted their way on earth. There wasn't any good flesh left on earth. And this is a few short years from the fall, right? Yeah, but still, in the scheme of things, we're not even a third of the way through the time frame of the Bible yet, are we? It doesn't take long, does it? It doesn't take long for the sin to creep in and just destroy everything. We see that in our own country, do we not? We look at the Constitution and we look at what the founders set up for us, this glorious land that I think God was involved in. I think he was leading them to set up this land. And they've seen how we desecrated. And just see how we desecrated in the last 50 years. The 60s was a bad time. Oh, you did. I was born during the 60s, but I look back at it, you see the time right there, you see just exponentially just growing. Amazing how quick things come along. How quickly this human flesh can destroy. It's like that's all we do good. That's all we're good at, is destroying things. We're good at that. So, God saw the whole earth, behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. So God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all flesh, for the earth was filled with violence through them. So when he says all flesh, what is he talking about? Men. Through all flesh. Because men caused this violence to come to earth, did we not? Was it not our sin that caused the sin to spread out to the whole creation? Does it not say in the New Testament that the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the time to come when God's going to take care of it? So God said, no, I've determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So he goes in to give Noah some information. He says, I want you to make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Now, I don't know what gopher wood is. Weston could probably tell me because he likes wood, or one of y'all guys. But I don't know what gopher wood is. I don't even know if gopher wood still exists on this earth today. I don't know if gopher wood was a type of oak or it was a pine or whatever. I don't know. That's not what I do. I do cars and brisket. So, but he told him to make it a specific thing, gopher wood. Okay? And he said, make rooms on the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. I know this pitch is a tar substance. They used to put it on ships whenever they make them during the colonial eras. And it basically just makes the boards watertight. It seals up the cracks. It's like, yeah, it's tar. So you're basically sealing up the crack. So they're going to pitch it in and out. They're going to make sure it's all cleaned up. They want it good and sturdy. Now, you're going to make it a length of 300 cubits, and I think I read that the cubit is like 1.8 feet. 0.8 feet, I think it was. Look at my notes. 18 inches? Okay. So you're basically, let's just say for reasonable thing, a foot and a half. That's 18 inches, right? Okay. So 300 cubits, that means it's about 450 feet long. Okay? I'm just for ease of saying, I'm just throwing numbers out there. Y'all can make this determination how you want to. My book says 4.8, but I'll just go with it. Easier doing math instead of half. Okay, so the breadth would be about 75 cubits, and the height would be about 45 cubits. Okay, feet. I'm saying cubits, feet. Okay, so this is no small thing, is it? It's bigger than a football field. It took them a long time to make this, did it not? I think a little more than a year. So, he took and he determined that he would make it. He had pitched a gopher wood, fill it with pitch, make it 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and basically 30 cubits high. Make a roof for the ark, and finish it a cubit above, and set a door in the side of the ark, and make it a lower, a second, and a third deck. So they're going to, the ark is basically this big boat. It's got like a small little ridge on top. Then you have three decks inside this ark, right? If y'all go to the ark thing on that thing, I think they got a pretty good rendition of it. I would really love to go see that. I think that would be neat. Yeah. It says, "For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which the breath of life under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall die." Now, there's a lot of stuff in there. He's going to bring floodwaters to the, I will bring floodwaters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, which is the breath of life under heaven. Now, he kind of leaves out the stuff in the waters, right? Why does he have to not worry about the stuff that's in the waters? The fish will be all right. They live in the waters anyway, okay? That's where they live their life. The whales will be fine. They can come up and drink. They might be a little hungry by the time it gets done. But I'm sure they got some plant life underneath the ground they can do, but that would then flood it out or what. I don't know. God supplies. I'm sure there's plankton in the water. I don't know what. But anyway, he takes care of all that. But they're adept to living in this water, so we don't worry about those. But anything that lives on land, whether it be a lowly ant or a flea, all the way up to a gigantic dinosaur, they're gone. They're dead. He's going to wipe all the stuff from the face of the earth. Imagine, could you imagine, even in today's day, that God could put enough water on this earth to completely cover up every Even if is anything, does God have the ability to do anything? We should not say that God couldn't do anything. God, you know, he has the ability to do whatever he wants to do. Physics does not apply to God, does it? If physics applied to God, then we could not have a reincarnation of the Lord Jesus. Yes, ma'am. Well, we'll read a little bit about that. We're going to go. And I don't want to get too far ahead of this, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Some people think that to answer your question, some people think that the earth was pretty flat at this particular time, and when God broke open the things, the deep, he created the mountain ranges and stuff like that. That which is completely feasible. I understand it. Early inside thing, it says there was water above and water below the firmament. Okay, so the earth was not exactly as we look at it right now. When God broke open the earth, there's some people think that particular time he created the mountains. But as we look at the earth today, can we even imagine there's enough water on this earth to completely cover the mountains? That's unfathomable to me. You know, and can we fathom? You know, there's gorges so deep in the ocean that would just dwarf the biggest mountain that we could turn and put down. We think we know a lot, don't we? We know nothing. We even fathom how big the earth is? We think we do because we live in an enlightened age. Sometimes we need to know just how dumb we are. Okay, anyway, he's going to make an ark out of gopher wood. It's going to be 30 cubits by 50 cubits by 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. It'll have a roof on the top of it, three decks on the inside of it. For behold, I'll bring flood waters upon the earth and destroy all fish. All the flesh in which is the breath of life under the heaven, everything that is on the earth shall die. So he's going to take and destroy all the people, and everything that's on the earth shall die. Because of Adam's sin, because of us following in Adam's sin, everything on the earth had to suffer for it. If I was those animals, I'd be a little upset at us. So, it says, but I will establish a covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, and you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. So he's going to establish a covenant. What's a covenant? An agreement. He's going to do an agreement with Noah. It says, I'm going to establish this covenant with you. Simply, why does he do it? Because Noah was the only righteous person he found in that thing. He walked with God. He was a God that saved. He was a man that by faith seeked after what God wanted him to do. So he established a covenant with him. He says, I'm going to take care of you, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives. I want you to take and come into this ark. And it says, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Guess what? Our whole time, what do we talk about today? How many genders are there? Well, what day is it? They come out with so many. They've probably got three more coming from somewhere today. But I look back at my Bible and what do I see? I see two genders, male and female. Why can't we just stay with the Bible? So, anyway, if you ever get to that thing, just go back to the Bible. They were not going to believe it anyway, but showing God's Word. So, he's going to bring in, why did he not bring in two males of a creature? Two females of a creature. They won't procreate. You need a male and a female. Thank you very much. Okay, biology lesson done. Okay, so he's going to bring into they're going to bring in two of every creature, a male and a female, and of the birds according to their kind, the animals according to their kind, every creeping thing on the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come in to you. To keep them alive. It's going to be your responsibility to keep them alive during this time. They're coming into you to be kept alive. Now, how many dogs do they have? Were they chihuahuas? They were like dash hounds. There you go. Everybody says, well, the ark's not big enough. Well, they only needed two horses. They only needed two dogs. Whatever the dog, the canine thing is, that kind, they need to understand that all dogs are genetically attached somewhere through their line. I don't care if they're a little chihuahua or my little Boston Terrier chihuahua mix that thinks he's like 40 feet tall, or where they're a Marmaduke dog. They can trace their ancestry back to what? The ark. And understand that we can trace our ancestry back to what? The ark. This whole racism thing that we talk about nowadays, whether you're black, you're white, or whatever, guess what? We all came from the same stock. Because somebody lived in a northern climate or a southern climate where they had more sun or less sun, and the pigment changed in your skin, it does not matter. We all came from Adam and Eve, and we all came from Noah. It's just the way it is. If we don't do that and believe that, we ought to sort of throw this Bible away because it means nothing. So we shouldn't get involved with all the junk that goes on about the racist issues that go on nowadays. Understand we can trace our lineage back to the same lineage. So, also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and them. What kind of food do you think they had? No brisket. The brisket was still part of the cows. They ain't killing them yet. Rabbits? No, there's only two animals. Can't eat the rabbits. If you eat the rabbits, they're not going to procreate. Understand. But I think God probably stopped that while they were on the ark. I don't know. But at this particular time, you can see that what kind of food are they going to... They're going to bring grains and stuff up that it's going to store. You think you're going to store meats on an ark that's going to be there for a year? Well, people don't eat any meat at this time. How do we know this? Theory, we don't know it. Where does it say in the Bible that the animals have already started eating meat? Where does it say in here? I want to know where it says in the Bible, where do you get your credit? I'm thinking at this particular time that the animals are still eating the stuff that God created plants for them at this particular time. That's what I'm thinking. I could be wrong. People can disagree with me. I'm just going by what I know from what Scripture tells me. I'm not going to any extracurricular sources on this. But filled with violence, again, could mean the violence of men. It could mean the violence of animals. I'm not giving you anything on that, Coach, but I'm saying this could be just the violence of men. I can't read the animals into that. I know the men were violent at that time because it says... the people with the breath of life off of them. We're talking about men, fleshly men. And we already know that violence happened with man all the way back into Cain, right? When he slew Abel. Lamech, when he killed a man for... I'd have to go back to the verse. But Lamech killed a man. He said if Cain's was sevenfold, then Lamech is 70 times seven. So we know that men had violence, and that's where I go with that, because I know I can read Scripture and I can go back to that. I'm not debating on whether you might be right, Coach. Yes. And we'll get to that. I just want to go to the next thing of time, okay? It says, I'll take every sort of food and store it up to serve the food for them. Noah did this. He did and he did all as God commanded him. So he took the exact words of God and done it exactly as God commanded him. It's amazing. He did this God said do this. You think God sent down some schematics and everything and handed it to him? God told him what he wanted to do, and he did exactly what God wanted. He followed that close to God. Noah was an amazing dude, wasn't he? Amazing man. God told him how to build a boat. By faith, he did exactly what God told him to do. In fact, let me ask you a question. Could you imagine never seeing a flood every time, you know, everything? In fact, there's some people think that it really rained. I think the mist was coming up from the ground and water in the thing at this the earth at this particular time. And could you imagine that? Oh, I need you to build this 450, 500 foot long boat. Do all this sort of stuff. And he did that by faith, and it took him 120 years to do it. That's some longevity. That's a lot of time to be thinking on what God has you doing, right? But he prepared him for that time. He walked with God, and he did exactly what God. Out of faith, he built that boat. Without faith, would he have built a boat? So without faith, he wouldn't have built a boat. So what saved him? Was it the boat or was it his faith? Faith. Faith is what we need, right? He showed his faith by building a boat. Let me ask you a question. This is, we're going to later on this. Before, when the law came into existence, could a Jew be a good Jew? Could he honestly attempt to follow after God without attempting to do the law in its fullness? How did a Jew in the time of law show his faith? He showed his faith by attempting to be obedient to the law. The law was there as a guide stick to show him that he couldn't be obedient. But without attempting to be obedient, he could not show any faith, right? At this particular time, if Noah had decided that he wasn't going to show faith in God, then he would have passed with everybody else because he wouldn't have built a boat. All throughout the existence, it's not what a man does that gets him to God. It's that's when they say, they look back in Hebrews and they talk about the heroes of faith. Because it's their faith in God that led them to do what they did. You think if Abraham did not have faith in God, he would not have put his son on that, up there on the sticks to burn him up and he told him to sacrifice them? Do you not think that his faith, if he didn't have faith that God would do what he said he was going to do, that he could have done that? He showed Through his faith, he'd done what God wanted to do, and God supplied the sacrifice, didn't he? We'll get to that later on. I'm jumping way ahead now. Yes, ma'am. Anybody got anything before I start on the phone? I've heard somebody say something. Okay. It says, then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you're righteous, that you are righteous before me in this generation. You're righteous before me. You show through your faith, you're attempting to do what I want you to do through this generation. You're not perfect. They're righteous because they have faith in God. Before me in this generation. It says, take with you 7 pairs of clean animals, a male and his mate, and the pair of animals that are not clean, a male and his mate. 7 pairs of birds of the heaven also, male and female, to keep their offsprings alive on the face of the earth. So they're taking 7 pairs of clean animals. What are clean animals? What are the clean animals? Did anybody know? Animals that were worthy of sacrificing to God. Because later on, he takes in, when he gets to the end, he makes a sacrifice to God at the end, does he not? And they have to have the animals there to do that, do they not? So, again, God supplies it. So, there's seven pairs of clean animals, male and his mate, a pair of animals that are not clean, a male and his mate, seven pairs of birds from the heaven, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of the earth. So God is like, now do you think that Noah went out and captured all these things and brought them into the ark? No, I remember there was the old children's song that God marching in two by two or something like that. I can't remember it. It's an old one. I used to learn when I was just a kid. I wish I knew it. But God supplied this. God made these. I guarantee you, when God got down to the seven, because he says, for 7 days, verse 4 it says, for 7 days I'll send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made, I will blot them out for the face of the ground. So, Noah had this boat prepared, doing what God told him to do. He had everything stocked. He had it provisioned. Okay? Now, God brings these animals to him, and he puts them in, and they walk up in the ramp and into the boat. I'm sure they had stalls set up for each one of them. I'm sure God had that plan laid inside Noah's mind, exactly how he wanted it, how exactly he wanted all these animals put in there. And so at that particular time, it said, and Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Yes, sir. Bunch of animals. But you only need two ants. You only need two bees. What's it? Because an ant can take and they can... Maybe the ant back at that time was not a fire ant. You know, maybe they changed, they mutated over the years from what God decided an ant should have been. Maybe they weren't as nasty as old fire ants are. You know? Understand, when you talk about kinds, you narrow down the amount of animals that are needed. Because it's not all horses, donkeys, what is that line? All the equine kind. Okay, you need a canine kind. So that means I don't need a Dachshund and a Dachshund and a Great Dane. I just need a wolf or whatever. I need that canine heritage. Whatever it is. And you don't know. It could have been a Chihuahua, and then that's where they moved up from there. We don't know. I don't see a wolf coming from a Chihuahua, but you never know. Okay, so keep in mind that when you talk about kinds, you kind of narrow down what's needed. Were there dinosaurs in the ark? Why do we not have dinosaurs now? But we don't have all the kinds of different dinosaurs. Alligators are still with us, crocodiles. But keep in mind, wait a second, I just want to keep in mind that the conditions after the flood, well, that means animals had to adapt to a different lifestyle when they come out of the ark. And like Coach said, now you don't have the firmament above, and you don't have the firmament below. You don't have this water thing that stops a lot of the rays that are coming in. So now we have more sun rays. That's what Coach was alluding to earlier. I don't know. They look like birds to me. Oh, yeah. I can see it. Well, you know, truly, if you look back into, go look at some of the armors in Europe that that was wore during the colonial days. Their stature a lot shorter. We've gotten taller in the last 100, 150 years. We're taller than what the people that originally came out of Europe over here were. So, I'm not saying we've done that much. You know, they make them smaller because they were less wood to use. But keep in mind that over the period of time, even in our, the macroevolution happens within a kind. It's even happened to this day. We see taller people this day. Now, if you're not 6 foot, you're short. Back 200 years ago, if you were 6 foot, you were tall. Yeah, but he wasn't normal. It wasn't normal that he was that tall. Everybody wasn't that tall. You are going to have flukes come up all the time. Let me tell you something. Not everybody is Andre the Giant. Not everybody is a 7 foot plus foot basketball player. That's not normal in our time, but we do have people that are head and shoulders above everybody else, even today, right? Do you not think that there could be somebody head and shoulders above somebody else back then? Yes, sir. I'm not saying that man's gotten better. I'm saying that man has evolved just like a macroevolution happens in the species. If you're in a hunter-gatherer situation, how do you eat 3 meals a day? But if it truly, in a hunter-gatherer situation, you take somebody and you stick them out in the bush somewhere, and they catch a meal and they eat the meal, they may not get another meal for 2 more days. So you got to realize, how do we live? You know the reason why we're fat? It's called a food pyramid, ladies and gentlemen. A few years ago, they decided they put this built this food pyramid, and they put the proteins way on top up here in the little top of the pyramid, right? And what did they put in this bottom part of this pyramid? Carbs and bread. Guess what? We got fat at that time. In order for me to keep my weight down, I have to eat probably twice as much protein as I do carbs to maintain muscle. In times past, people didn't eat the way we eat. People didn't grow the way we eat. We've gotten so much better at supplying ourselves, haven't we? That's right. There's so many people that sit around saying they want to go and get their hamburgers, but they could not stand to kill an animal. You tell them that animal had to die for to give you that hamburger, and they're like, what? No, they just go to McDonald's and pick up the burger, the quarter pounder. We don't think about where our food comes from anymore, do we? A few years ago, would you get good tomatoes in the wintertime? Well, at least we get tomatoes now. With the take and the way that we transport stuff around, and with the different technologies that we come up with, we have increased the ability to get different foods, have we not? Pesticides and chemicals, I'm not going to go there with those. I don't care. But you see that things have gotten a little different. I think I got off on a topic here, and I'm not going to get back on it. So we're going to jump back off into where did I stop at? I think 5. Yeah, we'll start back off. That's a good thing because it's fixing the water. The rain's fixing to come. Okay, and the deep is going to come up, and water's going to gush up from the deep, and it's going to flow down from the top, and there's going to be this big flood, and it's going to cover everything on earth up to 15 cubits, such it could be anywhere between, say, I don't know, 15 cubits, looking at 2.5 to 30 feet somewhere. Pretty deep. If you ever been down 15 feet in water, it's... Anybody ever dove down the bottom of a 15-foot pool? Yeah, your ears start popping a little bit when you get down there, don't they? Not really an environment conducive to longevity. Anybody got anything else for this morning? I know that there's been some comment. You know, I understand that people come up with information. I try to stay strictly to what I read out of the Bible and not bring in any sources. So, Coach, you could be right about the animals eating people or contending with people. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I deal straight. I'm pulling straight out of the scripture, so I'm not pulling it from that exterior source. You might be right. But I don't think, my point being is I don't think we need to bring the animals into it. I think man was bad enough at that particular time to cause God to do it. Yeah, and the question is this, and the only thing I would say about that is that we know that before the fall, all animals were what? They were herbivores. They were herbivores. All animals didn't. There was no death before the fall, because through that sin, Adam's sin, death entered. Right. So if there was no death before the fall, that means that everything was herbivore. Question is, how long did it take for your animals to switch to be carnivores? I don't know that. We'll get in there in a little bit. We'll get up to that in a little bit. That's what I said. We'll get to this in a little bit. What I'm saying is that's the reason why I tend to read off in the other way, Coach. I'm just giving you my reasoning. Okay? Anybody got anything else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for the time you give us together. We ask that you would give us understanding of your word. Give us the ability to live with each other in our differences of opinions, knowing that these are just opinions. We don't know for sure. We only know for sure in exactly what you tell us. Father, we ask for discernment in each one, that we would know more of you, that we could grow in grace and knowledge of you, that you would give us each the ability that whenever somebody comes up, they say, exactly what is this faith that you we have the ability to articulate exactly what we believe in order to let the Holy Spirit move to something. Giving us that ability to allow to be used by the